Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more.
In Islam, there is nothing called minority, by the way. The minority is a creation of the Western secular states. Mind you that in the West, women are minority, although they make up more than 50% of the society. In Islam, under the Khilafah state, there are the each and every resident is called a tabi'. Tabi'iyya is the citizenship, and this is there is the archives of the Islamic State during the Ottoman and the Abbasi. They show that non-Muslims and Muslims, they were treated in front of the law as being one category. Now the only difference is that non-Muslims are allowed, it's not that they are allowed to have their own judicial if they choose to, especially in the personal affairs. In the personal affairs like marriage, divorce, etc., they are allowed to go in front of their own judicial things. If they choose to go in front of the Islamic court, they have the right to. But the sense of minority, and therefore you treat them as a different class of citizenship, this is not allowed in the Islamic state. And just to be even more thorough on this issue, when it comes to election, for the parliament or the council of people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, they participate in the selection of the representatives, not based on the deen at all. However, non-Muslims, let's say Christians or Jews, are allowed, if they want, to have a representative of their own in front of the council of people. They are allowed if they want to. But it's not an obligatory upon them. It's not an obligatory to say you must have a representative, because representation is for the political issues. That's so now there is the issue of the money payment. The non-Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, they are only obligated to pay a certain tax. It's called the head tax in Islam, called jizya, but it's specific amount of money which is given per person. It's not per money, it's not per income, whereas the Muslims they have to pay for income. That is some variations, because the zakah in Islam is ibadah, so you don't ask the people to pay it because it's not a ibadah, and they pay a certain amount of money which is specific, well-defined portion. And in the history, if you go to the archives of the Islamic State, it has always been way less than what the Muslims pay for zakah. That's just a quick answer to this question. Yes, we'll take some, go ahead from the sister.
So go ahead, why don't you go ahead, because you've been...
Just want to make some quick correction, and excuse me, Ashraf, for taking this part. The Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the rest, they are not supporting the opposition with money or anything else. Absolutely not. They support and they recruit agents, if you will. There is very specific groups which they, and I am personally aware of some cases where the Qatari money, let's say, come to the refugee camps in Jordan, and they go and select specific families, specific groups, which have shown some alliances, some allegiance to the so-called, to the current establishment in Jordan or Qatar or Saudi Arabia, and they pay them money. So it's not really to the opposition. It is continues to be the oil money from the past as well as today is a money to recruit agents and supporters and allies of the West, nothing more, nothing less. So we have to be careful. There is no oil money that goes to the opposition in Syria. As far as, and I will, Ashraf probably will say more on this, as far as Iran and the opposition to capitalism, because you mentioned capitalism, capitalism is a system. It's not only the United States. It's a capitalist system of wealth distribution and wealth and economic framework. For some reason, Iran, although, let me to be honest to the history, one of the best people who ever wrote on Islamic economy is Muhammad Baqir Sadr from the Shia school of thought, where he wrote in a very intelligent and diligent matter about Islamic economy. However, when the Iran government and the revolution took place, they chose not to use any of the Muhammad Baqir Sadr writing. They chose not to, although they know it. It's not that they don't know it. They know what it is. And when it came to the implementation of economic system, they continued to implement another version of capitalism. It's a diversified version, just like the version of capitalism China is trying to lead, but it's a different form of capitalism, but it's not Islamic economy. And we can talk about that at length in the during the break.
You have a question?
You want to
answer?
Just,
go ahead.
No. One comment. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, for the role of support of Saudi Arabia and support of Qatar, actually the money that they support to the opposition. First of all, we have to think about it. The money has to go from the Saudi government to either Jordan or Turkey. It doesn't go to Lebanon, it doesn't go to Iraq, because these, they think they're with Iran. So the money is not going to go to the ones who are actually supporting Bashar. So it has to go through Jordan or it has to go through Turkey. And Turkey, as I mentioned in the talk, it's in line with the US. Whatever the US wants from Turkey will be done. So it's either Turkey or Jordan. Now in Jordan, also Jordan doesn't want the revolution to spread to Jordan, because the success of the revolution in Syria in the direction of an Islamic government, it's not good for the current system in Jordan. Same thing in Turkey. It's not good for Turkey. Because this revolution, as I mentioned in the beginning, it's a spread. It's going through the Arab revolution. It's like a disease that spreads in the body. So it's going to spread to Jordan. It's going to get to Turkey. It's going to get to Iraq. It's going to get to Lebanon. And gets to Jordan, then goes to Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia and Qatar, all that, they're putting all of this money and they're giving it to the Jordanian government and the Turkish government to give it to the right people, that the right people, right is an agent, someone, the one who supports what the, actually the one who redirects, wants to redirect the revolution from an Islamic outcome to the current status that you saw in Tunis or you saw in Egypt. The other thing to add is, Saudi Arabia doesn't want more revolution inside. So by giving the money and donating the money in the public, it's telling its own people that we are supporting the oppression, the revolution. We are
in the States, no?
Well, the question is, will they have a way to apply the same laws, meaning that will they have any type of relationship with the Muslims in the West when the state is established? How that will play out?
The rules of the Islamic State apply to Muslims, or not to Muslims, to citizens in the Islamic State. This is called Darul Islam. The Islamic State of Khilafah will not have any rules that apply to anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim, who does not live within the Islamic State, period. In fact, this is very clear in the Quran. In the Quran, it's very clear. Those who are Muslims and who have not migrated to the Islamic State to live within the boundaries of the Islamic State are not going to receive any support as in terms of alliance or support, okay, from the Islamic State. Because this is a state, this is political state. This is not ideological framework for the world. Now, Muslims who want to enjoy the life of an Islamic state, the laws of the Islamic state, they know where to go. But otherwise, they have to live under the rules of non-Islamic state, which is allowed. The Prophet ﷺ did not force every Muslim to migrate to the Islamic state. If you continue, you can live somewhere else, and you can, your Islam is protected, you know that your Islam is okay, it's up to you. But if you feel that you cannot live your Islam, Islamic state will always get you. So there are lots of issues about the structure of the Islamic state. I hope that we can, someday we can have another lecture to talk about that, because this is not, it was meant for economy or Syria. I know there are lots of issues here. We cannot answer all of them, but I think it's worth for the brothers of the MSA to organize something else.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.